So good morning, good morning. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for coming. I'd like to apologize that they used my bar mitzvah picture on the photo, so you've got a bit shocked by my appearance, perhaps. I aged a lot since that poster went up, obviously. But really, it's a tremendous chutz for me to be here with you. And I figured if we have like 25 minutes or so really to spend together, we should try to use it in the best possible way. So I thought to myself, what if there were a mitzvah, chalila, that was a little bit forgotten in Klal Yisrael? If you think about it for a moment, did the mitzvah gotten in Klal Yisrael? Probably an organization would immediately form, you know, Vav, Laman, Hachzokas, whatever. Chalila, let's say, was a mitzvah of lulav. Like, people forgot what a lulav is. If you write away a irgud, Laman, you know, the chizuk, mitzvah, lulav, and they would have an annual budget, and it would be a fundraising drive, it would be a banquet, and be, the adverts would go into the paper, and then they would honor different people. It would be a whole thing, right? When I was a kid, in fact, growing up, there was such a problem. In the United States of America, growing up, people were not aware of the mitzvah of Shabbos. It's the truth. If you come in a Yid from Ungarn, he came from Hungary, his name was Mr. Yosef Rosenberg, at Tzadik HaMalach HaYid, and he founded the Shabbos Laboratory in New York City, and today there isn't a place in the entire United States, perhaps the world, where there isn't the Shabbos Laboratory. He said, it's unbelievable. He was Magdur Atarliya. What if I told you there were six mitzvahs like that? There's six mitzvahs like that, where Klal Yisrael seems a bit of other friends, a little strange to these mitzvahs. I can imagine, that would be a terrible thing, right? There are six mitzvahs we're going to talk about today, that these six mitzvahs, Klal Yisrael is a bit separated from them. Maybe in practice, somehow we do it, but unknowingly, unwittingly. But certainly it's important to know that there are mitzvahs that we don't have enough of a connection to. And those mitzvahs just happen to be the Sheish Mitzvahs Tzmidiyos, the six concept mitzvahs. There are six concept mitzvahs, there's a set of Taryag, and there's a subset of six. And those are Sheish Mitzvahs Tzmidiyos, which means they're obligatory 365, 24/7. And not only that we're not constantly aware that we're doing them, but many of us don't even know what they are. So I thought what a great tikkun it would be if we could speak about this today. Can you imagine, Machzer, Atar, Liyash, the six mitzvahs. So what does it mean when we talk about a mitzvah tamidus? What type of mitzvah tamidus? A mitzvah tamidus, let's say, Achilas Chazir. Is that a mitzvah tamidus? Not eat Chazir. Is that a mitzvah tamidus?
Yeah.
No, it's not. In fact, it's not. When there's no Chazir before you, you're not drawing down Tzchah that moment for the mitzvah, right? Shmir Shabbos, also not tamidus, only once a week. So there are only six mitzvahs in the entire Torah. There are Sheish mitzvahs, tamidus, only six. And the Shaila is, how could it be that Klal Yisrael like doesn't even relate to them somehow? I'm not saying we don't keep them, by the way, because I think inherently we do, but that we don't, we're not aware of them. We're not Sheish mitzvahs, tamidus, every single second is a chiyuv. I don't even know what they are. And the answer is because lulav, you're not going to forget. You know why I don't forget lulav? Because lulav is a shaking mitzvah. Hafreshet challah, you're not going to forget, because that's a baking mitzvah. Shake and bake mitzvahs, you don't forget. Right? However, we're going to see the Sheish mitzvahs tamidus are conceptual mitzvahs. They're thinking mitzvahs. And unfortunately, in the Western world, we don't like to think. If Chalila, we have a few minutes, you go on the underground or New York City, we go on the subway, you see men dressed in $1,000 suits with $200 attaché cases, and Chalila have a few moments to think. They pull out right away the Sony PlayStation they're playing on the subway. They're playing games. Sure, what happens? What's the worst? You'll think a little bit. The thinking we don't like to do. Exactly. So we're going to see the Sheish mitzvahs tamidus are thinking mitzvahs. I thought to myself, if I'm going to try to help make a shtickle a tikkun, where Klal Yisrael is more aware, let me find a practical outlet for these mitzvahs. Meaning, just like I said a shake and bake mitzvah, we don't forget because you wave it, you don't forget it. You bake it, you don't forget it. The same thing, if I could show people how these Sheish mitzvahs tamidus are practical and they could use it every day in their lives, Be'ezer Hashem, I think people will remember. So I thought to myself, what could be an insight that could be derived from the fact that a Kodesh Baruch Hu made a mitzvah to me that's a constant mitzvah? What's the insight? Like, I'm not going to ask why Hashem did it, because why Hashem did it, I don't know anything. Even the Sefer HaChinuch gives you all the Tamei HaMitzvah. He explains the introduction. Tamei HaMitzvah is not cause and effect relationship with the mitzvah, because we can't enter, quote, the mind of Hashem, because he's unlimited, we're limited. But when you talk about Tamei HaMitzvah, it's like the Ramban Tamei HaMitzvah, which means the flavor of a mitzvah. Because Baruch Hu sometimes gives us a little nosh with the mitzvah, you can get a flavor out of it, so it's even more gishmak. So what could be the flavor of these mitzvahs? So I thought to myself, there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Umidusarai echazel loka," that from my flesh I can gaze upon a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Because I'll tell us, if sometimes you have a riddle in the Olam Haruchni, you don't understand maybe why Hashem did something, you're looking for the insight for it, see if there's a parallel question in the Olam Hagashmi, in the physical world, and whatever answer suffices for one will suffice also for the other. So I said to myself, what is it that we as bodies, as gufim, do all the time? Are there any constants that we engage in as human beings? I said, of course. We breathe. It's a constant. How important is breathing, Taka? If you don't breathe, what are the repercussions, Khalila? Could ruin your whole day. It's a terrible thing, right? Eating, drinking, breathing. So I said to myself, well, eating, drinking, or breathing off of the body means to be a successful body, to be a successful human being, a ghost, you have to have these. It must be that to be a successful human being, which what makes us human, the neshama. You must have these six things. These six things are like eating and drinking and breathing. That's what I said to myself. So that's the hashara that I'm going to be putting down here today. This is what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to have Be'ezus Hashem show you that to be a successful human being, or to be successful in anything as a human being, whatever success you would like in your life, use the Sheish Mitzvot Media, if you can use them, and you'll be successful. I know I'm making a very big claim, and we Yanks are very accustomed to it. We make big claims, a big advert, you know, this is the way we are, a little splashy at people, right? I'm making a big claim, and the Ezer Hashem, I'm going to show you how you could use the Sheish Mitzvot Media in your own life to be more successful in any endeavor you want to take. You want to be a bigger Talmud Chacham, that's probably what it was designed for. But you want to be a more successful husband? You can use it for that. You want to be a more successful business person? Use it for that. You want to make more money? Now you're listening. You want to make more money? Use it for that. The Ezer show be able to show the Sheish Mitzvot Midos you could be to be more. You could use to be more successful in any endeavor in your life. That's the hashara we're making. That's the claim we're making. And let's see if it bears out of that. So you should know that probably al pi derech hateva, the number one factor that's going to determine whether someone is successful, meaning you have two people, equally talented, equally skilled, equally polished, educated. One might languish in the mailroom of his corporation his whole life, and the other one makes CEO. It happens like that. You have very bright people who are doing menial jobs in life, and one makes it to the top, one, and they have the same background. So how does one make it to the top, one not? So let's sum up, piderach hateva, you have to say it's motivation, meaning someone is motivated so much so that the barriers and challenges that would fail this one, the other one just leaps over them because he's motivated. He has a geschmack in it. He's not motivated. Motivation is very key, I believe, generally speaking, in terms of success. And motivation is impossible to someone if they're an atheist. I'll tell you why. Inherently, it's not shy. I'll tell you why. Unfortunately, there's a problem with at-risk children, but fortunately, I get to work with them in New York City. I see about 130 kids a year in Nebuchadnezzar who needs a lot of help. And I remember maybe 7-8 years ago, I received a call from a mother of a young man who went to a party, whatever he did there. He did something there that was terrible. And he came back and he was so depressed the next morning, he did not get out of bed for the next 4 days. And the mother was mamish frightened, the boy was having a nervous breakdown. And the boy told his mother that he knew me, had met me on the streets of New York. And he said, if Milstein would come, I'll listen to him. So I come into the house. She calls me frantic. I come into the house. We'll call the boy Shimmy, not his real name. He's laying in bed, the covers drawn over his face. So I come in, I'm like really positive and energized, the way Kadaki, like I do. I say, Jimmy, it's a beautiful day out there. I have a new car. Come, I'll take you for a ride. I know you would. You're very curious about my new car. Okay? So come on. So what happens is, I'm waiting for the boy to respond, and nothing. He's totally quiet. Doesn't say a word. So I figured perhaps he's asleep. So I gently pull the covers from his face. His eyes are wide open. He's not asleep at all. I said, Shimmy, come on, it's me. Come on, I'll take you out. We'll have a good time. I'll take you for pizza. Come on. He looked at me and he gave me a brilliant response if someone does not believe in the Kaddish Baruch Hu. He said, what for? What does that mean? If the whole world, Chalila, is an accident, there could be no inherent rhyme, reason, or purpose to anything in the world. Everything in the world is simply there because it's there. It's an accident. It has no inherent reason. So what could be so important about my getting out of bed that's more chashuv than the entire cosmos? The whole cosmos is garnished. Then why should I get out of bed this morning? Why should I have the smallest tircha in my life if there's no meaning to life? But if someone understands the first of the Sheish Mitzvot Midos, which is Leido Lahamish, Yesham Alakat, in order to believe there's a Bari Yoylam, what does that mean? It means that the Bari Yoylam went ahead and he created the entire universe. And every single morning he rolls away the carpet we call the stars. And every single night he reverses the process, brings out the sun and the moon. In other words, he gave the earth a good spin, and it has such a tilt that we have the four seasons from it. And the rings around Saturn, the whole thing's working like a finely tuned Swiss clock. Kadosh Baruch Hu seems to be quite occupied with matters quite important. And he also chose to give me the decide this morning that I don't want to get out of bed. It can't be that my getting out of bed is any less important than the entire cosmos. Because the same unlimited genius and unlimited intelligence is busy with both. Not true. Every trit mishrit, every single step, every single challenge it has is of unlimited importance. You know why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that Messiah. Every single thing we do is haplo basal. He used to say balajan azay, this lenses and balajan. That's how the designers designed the clothing in Paris. If we learn better Torah in balajan, the schus is somehow megan, and the fashions come out more seriously from Paris. We have a tremendous amount of impact on the cosmos, the universe around us. Everything we do is a davar pelamayid. We're yidden. It's unbelievable what we could accomplish. Even if you don't have the kavanas during tefillah, you know, with the tirufei shayimis. Even anashim shutim. Every single mitzvah we do is absolutely tremendous. And if we have it, it's saying not to get out of bed in the morning. That is absolutely critical. Otherwise, the Rabbanu Shlom would not have done it. We're talking about the Rabbanu Shlom here. He would not have done it. So it's important for every single person to have a rock solid surety that the Bari Olam is the one who created the universe, and this unlimited intelligence creates and programs all the different challenges that I have. So it's got to be that no challenge is any less important than the other one. That'll get you out of bed in the morning. That's motivation. To know that everything we do is so critical, his gaber kari, get up in the morning, schmack. And to the extent that we have rock solid surety about the Bari Olam, what he's doing in life, we approach things with a rock solid confidence. Go on, you're a mensch. To the extent, chas v'shalom, that someone's a little wishy-washy, their motivation could be no more than wishy-washy. So someone says, I know an atheist, and he's very successful in life. How do you explain that? The answer's another question. I'm not saying that there aren't people who don't have a tremendous amount of talent, that they can't do well, even despite the fact they don't have surety. But you give me an hour with that guy, we'll be able to share proof that the Bari Olam exists. We'll bring him to a seminar, Tarachim seminar, Discovery seminar. Rock, he'll make 10 times more money. If there's more purpose in your actions, if there's more purpose in your life, if you're more deliberate in things that you do, we all can understand it stands to reason that we're going to, we're all going to do better. So the first of the Sheish Mitzvahs to me is Leid V'Lahamish Yeshul Mekah. And everything you do is a Dover Pelamayid. You're listening to the Shir today, it's a Dover Pelamayid. Get a Nisayim whether to come today, or maybe not to do something, Chalil, maybe not to learn at all. And you came, changed Olamus. Worlds have been changed just now. That's the first mitzvah, which brings us to the second mitzvah. Second mitzvah is Ein Zul Asay, there's no power outside of the Bari Olam. Ein Zul Asay, no power outside of the Bari Olam. So what does that really mean, there's no power outside of the Hashem? The first mitzvah is Leid L'Hamash Yeshem Leka. Doesn't that already talk about the Yiddish Bari Olam? Of course it does. The Yiddish Bari Olam, we're called monotheists. Why are we called? Because it's already one. Say, right away, to tell me Ein Zul Asay. Now, I'm not giving you the be-all and the end-all to any of these mitzvahs. For Ezer Hashem, you'll sit and learn the rest of your life. Now that you're aware that this is very important, Ezer Hashem, and some of you knew before also, I'm not Chalila assuming anything, you'll sit and learn them, and you'll understand every one of these mitzvahs, b'milui. And I can't tell you that in the space of a few minutes. But I can at least introduce you to the concept and show you how you can access them immediately to draw down Schar 365, 24/7. That I can do. So we're just showing you one little notch of each mitzvah, how to make it important in your life and prominent immediately. Just an access point, that's all we're doing today. The full halachas you look up in Shulchan Aruch, it happens to be, of course, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, for the Bir Halacha, Sheish Mitzvah Tzvidiyayit, Sefer Achinah, the first 6 mitzvahs. You can look it up, there's a lot written on it. We're just giving ourselves an access point so we could use our mitzvah right away. So what's the pshat? Ein Zul Asay, there's no parashat of Bar Elam. David HaMelech in Tehillim paraphrases the second of the Aseret HaDibros. Lo yihya b'cha elzar. So Chazal asks, what type b'cha? What type lo yihya b'cha? Something was in you, a foreign power. What type b'cha in you? So Chachamim say this has to do with chet. And I would like to say that maybe the chet we're talking about is a chet of arrogance. Let me tell you what I mean by arrogance. When I was a child, I went to summer camp. Very young, I went to a camp called Magen Avraham. It was a very rustic type of camp. There was a little electricity in some of the bunkhouses. Running water was indoor plumbing was a luxury that we did not have for the first 2 years in that camp. Enough said. And we played a lot of baseball, low-tech activities. Yeah, long time ago, low-tech activities, a lot of baseball. Baseball in the morning, but at our bunk, even though we were little kids, I was 8 years old at the time, we were extremely successful in baseball. We had the best record in the entire camp. We won so many games because we had one kid in our bunk, who was a short kid, squat kid, strong like anything, had a great eye for the ball, and at will, he could score a home run. I'm sorry I'm using cultural things that you maybe cannot relate to, but, you know, think cricket, okay? So this guy, anytime he needed to, he got up and he would score a home run. We'd win the game. He was unbelievable. Vahiha Young disaster struck. It was called a trip change. Some boys went home and some boys stayed. The slugger stayed, I stayed, but the pitcher from the other bunk went home. So it's now the new season, and he gets up to the bat, he's expecting to hit it out at will. He never saw this pitcher before. The guy throws him 3 strikes, strikes him out of the spot, and this boy is so frustrated, so upset, and so from. He takes the bat, he throws it on the floor, and he says, Hashem, why did you do this to me? He's up a few and he's late at repeat performance. He's out again. He's frustrated. He's angry. He's yelling. He gets upset. Few innings later, he's up again. We have one or two men on base. This time, he's seen the pitcher twice before. First pitch comes down the pike, whacks it out, hits a home run. Now, as this boy was scoring the winning run, and he's doing his victory lap, right? What do you think he said now? He said, "Yeah!" Like, what would you say now? Isn't that us? When things don't go right, we call out to the barrio number, it's a local number. When things do go right, of course. Arrogance is a terrible thing when it comes to being successful in life. I'll tell you why. Because if you're going to be proud of your achievements, you're going to get frustrated when you fail. And how many times can you get frustrated and still have the energy to try again? If it's me who succeeded, it's also me who failed. You should blame yourself when you fail, because if you're taking credit when you succeeded. So we say, don't take pride in your success. Take pleasure in your success. That's a Borei Olam around the entire universe in a way to make room for you and your achievements today. Why were you successful today? Wasn't it because the Kadosh Baruch Hu made room for you? Didn't he run the universe in a way to make sure that you would have it? Of course he did. Take a moment and understand it's the kindest and most loving endorsement of your life by the Borei Olam. Hashem loves you. He made you successful. And then when you don't succeed, don't say to yourself that you are a failure. At that point you say to yourself, perhaps I'm not ready for success. Do any of you happen to know of any people who weren't ready for the limelight and they found fame and fortune too early in life and they burned out? And not only that was most detrimental, we have athletes galore in the United States of America who make it a little bit too early, and after 3 or 4 years that people are claiming they're going to be the next Mamash Mashiach in sports, they're addicted to drugs. They're in jail. They beat up their wives. It's true. I'm talking about specific cases. Because they're not ready for the success. If we get success when we're not ready for it, it's very clear to me at least, it could be very harmful. So when you succeed, you say, Baruch Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this life endorsing moment, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the success in life. So Matanah in the Baruch Hu, Liha Ketzef Liazov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said success is mine. I give it to you. He ran the universe away to give it to you. But we don't succeed. We should know HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And the reason we didn't succeed is because he thought we are not ready for this success today. A whole different way to live your life. Takes away the frustration. Item number two is, if you're the one who's responsible for your own success, then you also become the one who's balabust enough to say, this I can, and this I can't do when it's too hard. And I can't is what trips up every single person who doesn't. Think about it. Oh, it's too hard, I can't do it. So what we're saying is, don't say I can or I can't. Figure out, is this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? If it's the right thing to do, you go out and you're in the batter's box and you're swinging away because it's the right thing to do. If it's the wrong thing, you're out of there. You're someplace else. You're just not doing this. Success is in Bari Islands. You figure out what's right. Where are you most likely to be graced with success? Were you the right thing? The right thing about it. We should just figure out, this is the right establishment to make. Here I am. The wrong establishment, I'm out of here. Okay, is that clear? So number two is, Ein Zlot, there's no power outside of the Almighty. There's a story told from the Briska Rav. I heard the story when I was a kid, and I didn't know whether to believe the story or not, that he had no travel papers, as it was time to leave Europe and flee the terrible Khorban of World War II. He had no travel papers, because everyone who provided him with papers, he took those papers, and he gave them away to people who otherwise couldn't travel. Visas and tickets, and he gave everything away. His children saying, Papa, what's the diamond doing? How are we going to get out? He said, don't worry, Professor Baruch Shalom will provide. And the way I heard the story was, he took the children when it was finally time to get out, and he told them, you should have in Zinnin, Ein Du Vasai, Ein Ablavada, there's no power out of the Baruch, and you'll see we'll get through, because it's not the ticket collector that collects. So Baruch Shalom, Ein Ablavada will be okay. That's the way I heard the story. I have the Kabbalah from a very great Rav. He said, anybody who believes none of these stories is not the Kairos. Anybody who believes all of them is a fool. So I didn't know what to do with the story. So about 9 years ago, my son, Rav Zunzai, was learning by the Rashi Rav David Soloveitchik, the son of the Briska Rav, who was featured in the story. He's one of those children who travel with him. So I came to see him and I asked him. I said, is this story true? He says, is this story true? Let me tell you a story. And he tells us that he was once on a train with the family. They're traveling through Europe this way, trying to run away. And the car was completely empty. There was no one in the car. So the train stops by a Russian cross point, and then a Chalmers gets on the thing, right? And there's no one else in the car. I mean, who else are they checking? So the Tata Tukuktafel, the father looked at us, he said, Kindlech, someone's not concentrating. We machazik ourselves, and the guy walked right by us. I'm not suggesting the next time you take public transportation in the City of London that you don't have the proper fare. You should have the proper fare. I'm just saying, look at the potential power of this mitzvah. Which brings us to mitzvah number three. Mitzvah number three is Yichud Hashem, the oneness, the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We just said the first one is the British level. It's already one. The second one is Eitz Lazai. Shevaita Eitz. What's going on, Yichud Hashem? So again, I'm not giving you these mitzvahs b'milum, or not even the Parsha Pshat. I'm just showing you how to use the mitzvahs every day in your life immediately to apply to be more successful. And the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, I believe, is a fantastic mitzvah to combat what I like to call the Western concept of the fudge factor. A lie is when you try to fool someone else. When you fudge something, what you're doing is you're fooling yourself. You make excuses. It's called a fudge. We have an example of a fudge. You have a little child. And a child comes home from playgroup. The child is 2 years old. We'll call him Baruch. Every day he comes home from his playgroup at 2.5 years or 3 years old, he always has a note pinned to his jacket from the Mora. The Mora says, like, he was a good boy today, he's answered the right questions. It's always like a little note. Very good playgroup he goes to. It's like getting a lot of nachas. One day there's a note attached, and it's not blue like it used to. This day it's pink. Okay, it's like pink. You open it up. It says, Dear Abba, Baruch is a liar. A liar? You call Baruch, Baruch, did you tell a lie today? What did he say? No. Liar. How many times did Tati tell you you're not allowed to tell a lie? Now he knows that you know that he's in trouble, so he starts to cry. He says, you mean never, ever, ever? That's right, never, ever, ever, and just then the phone rings. And Baruch is a very precocious child, and he goes to pick up the phone. He says, Abba, it's that lady from across the street, the one that you nicknamed Nudnik. Tell her I'm not home! We don't do that, tell her I'm not home. Terrible. You do want to try... It's called a fudge. When it's not convenient, we don't like to do something. We have one set of standards how we daven during this man when we're in yeshiva gishmak learning. Whole other set of standards how we daven sometimes we're away on vacation, Leilenu. We have one set of standards that are okay how we dress maybe at a certain time. I'm on vacation, a little different. Maybe we have one set of standards we apply when we're dealing one on one with people come to Mamanis. And maybe a whole other standard when some people, I'm not saying clearly anybody in this room, but dealing with business. It's the same Bar Yoilam in the winter, in the summer, in the spring, in the fall. It's the same Bar Yoilam during the year and on vacation time. It's the same in all postal codes, in all time zones. It's all the same Bar Yoilam. Figure out what your bottom line is. Understand versus Mutter versus Asa, right? And stick to it. Went all the time. Because consistency is something which is incredibly important for growth. Inconsistency can take years and years of growth, of aliyah, and literally in one fell swoop, it's gone. We make excuses for ourselves. When? All of the time. In business, you can imagine there are people who every single day will come late to work, and every day they have a different excuse. If you're a kindly boss, you go over to this worker, you put his arm, your arm in your shoulder, you say, you know, you're a nice guy, and you come up with great excuses, but you're fired. Because successful, you're not going to be in this business. Everyone needs to have a bottom line towards which we subscribe. Of course, it could be the yikes and dice and the exception. I understand that. But generally speaking in life, everyone needs to know that to the bottom line. You understand what is your rule and stick to it. When? All the time. You define the parameters of your business and stick to it all the time. It could happen once in a while, but people make excuses all the time. Are people who are nice people, but successful already, they're not going to be. So it's very Yichud Hashem means a unity, a oneness in the entire Bria. You figure out what the rules are. You figure out what your bottom line is and stick to it all the time. Which brings us to mitzvah number four. Mitzvah number four is the mitzvah of Ahavat Hashem. Ahavat Hashem is the greatest thing that you could think of if you want to be more positive in life. I know people in business who they're very smart, very brilliant, and they're not really successful because you can't do business with them. They're like, so down. You want to do some business with me? I'll go to the guy across the street. You know, he has a bit of a better smile, right? Positivity is everything, and positivity is something which can only come to a person when there's a sense of tefridenkeit. And tefridenkeit comes from the mitzvah Ahavat Hashem. What does that mean? How are you mekayem the mitzvah Ahavat Hashem? The Chevetz Avavos, perhaps the majority of the sefer is busy with this. To have a mitzvah, an obligation for something which is an emotion, to feel I don't feel. How can you mekayem me? How can you do that? Zot the Chevetz Avavos. The ma'isa hamitzvah is simply counting your blessings all the time. What has Hashem done for me lately? If you do that all the time, and you continue to count your blessings, you say, Ashreinu Matayim Chokeinu, every single moment, the feeling of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu flows automatically. You don't have to worry about it. The Ma'isa Mitzvah is count your blessings. How many colors do you have the ability to see using your eyes? You know? All mammals are colorblind. The human being gets to see in 16.8 billion colors. I used to say, human beings see in a lot of colors. Then there's an ophthalmologist in the room. He says, Rabbi, you're right, but do you know how many we see him? I said, no. He said, 16.8 billion cones. They're the cones and the rods. It is breathtaking. And what is it good for? Red light, green light? It's only two. What is it? What do you use it for? You use it for your pleasure. You see a sunrise and a sunset, it's gewaldig. If you had lesser perception when it comes to color, it would be just okay to see a sunrise sunset. But if you go to Burma, you go to Eilat Lahapu, right? You go to the Yosemite National Park, Grand Canyon, you see a sunrise or sunset, because you can see 16 billion colors, you're standing there, and you're mulling it and go, wow! It's the Nisloy Tabarik. That's what 16 billion is. Take a moment and count your blessings. How many different taste experiences exist in the human palate? Tens of thousands. Why? Could have taken all the nutrients we need to Rabbanu Shalom and put them in a single apple, have a nice lunch, put the dentist out of business, right? What? Why? It's not foul pleasure. Take a moment and count your blessings. We have the human beauty called music. You ever see a horse with earbuds? To the human beauty of art. You ever see a cow admiring a Renoir? You know? Doesn't happen. What's up, Shop? Take a moment and recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu creates you as a human being that's able to appreciate all the time. The amount of pleasure is unbelievable. We have companionship. The Gemara says, it's gewaldig. You ever see a weasel and a rat kicking back after a difficult day at work in a pub with a beer? Doesn't happen. It's only us. So they're all for mammals, yeah? But what's the shot? Kadosh Baruch Hu created us, and a person, it's incumbent upon us every single second to look at the bracha that we have and say, Baruch Hashem! And when you say that, trust me, the Bari Olam doesn't do anything to change it. It's the same Bari Olam. But we change. We start to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. We start to really understand the level to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to inspire us and give us pleasure. We start to feel like an Ahuv, a Nechmad, and a Noyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me. And when you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, the feeling of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu back is automatic. All you need to do is sit back and count your blessings. If you're ever having a difficult day, by the way, it's a school in this law. You're having a difficult, whatever problem you're having, stop for a moment and count your blessings. It is a school in this law to have a richas yom v'shanim. Say, lower your blood pressure. It's a school in this law to gewaldig, gewaldig, gewaldig. Sit down and count your blessings. One all the time. It's one of the constant mitzvahs. It is merdik positive, which brings us to mitzvah number 5. I'm being so mikasi rabbi, I can't even tell you. Each one of these things should be half an hour. Mitzvah number 5 is the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. So some of you are saying, thank you, Rabbi Milstein, it was nice until now, but I have to go to work now. Yiras Hashem. A constant mitzvah, Yiras Hashem. A constant. So the cower and fear before the Almighty. Just relax for a moment here. There's a terrible disease that's ravaged mankind. It's called alcoholism. And it's a terrible, we joke about it. We make jokes about drunks. But the M is a terrible disease. If it lasts long enough, it's always fatal. It's a terrible disease. And the alcoholic basically has one small choice in life, whether to live around alcohol, or to take the nonsense and get rid of it. Put it in the safe, lock the safe, lose the combination, put a chain around the safe together with the regular lock, lose the key to that lock, take the safe and the chain and the lock and put it in the sub-basement of a basement of a house on the side of the street. He never walks again for the rest of his life. And then you know what? He can accomplish the same as you and I. But if he doesn't do that, if he chooses to live around alcohol, he will be a classical failure. He can't, because he doesn't have a free will. He does not have the ability to say no when it's around. Or even if he does, after the first drink, he loses his ability to choose. He can't. And he's finished. You develop a healthy sense of the sphere of the things that you know can bring you down from your Avodas Hashem. The most important thing in your life is your Avodas Hashem. And you're walking around with all 16 billion colors, but when you feel guilty inside because your relationship is not what it should be, we walk around with inner angst and conflict, and there's no inner peace ever. Yiras Hashem is be afraid of coming to such a matzah. Be afraid of losing the wonderful relations of the Bari Olam. And take a moment and make sure that your fear is in good working order all the time. You don't have to cower in fear. But you have to tend to your fear like you have to tend to the brakes in your car. If the gas pedal is a Havas Hashem, it creates energy. You put the pedal to the metal, the wind goes rushing through your hair. It's geschmack! Energy! Yiras Hashem is the brake pedal hole. When you can have too much energy, you can go, you know, you have no brakes on the car. You'll drive right into someone's house, maybe your own. Right? Brakes is a gewaldige sache to make sure you get to where you need to get to. It says the Sefer HaMeira, the Rambam says Sefer HaMeira Nevuchim. These mitzvahs are twin mitzvahs. If you use them together, it creates a perfect balance in life. Ahava, you go, and you stop Machmas Yira. Why is it a constant? Make sure your brakes are in good working order all the time. You start the engine, you put on the brake. What happens if at that point the brake sinks down all the way to the floor? You're not going anywhere today. You take the car into the shop. You don't go walking around the street without Yiras Hashem. Every day, B'Shul Mutzah, Pirkei Avos, whatever you're going to learn. Every day. to work together. You wake up in the morning, Avos Hashem, May Davila Fodech Abelachai Vekayam. And immediately, Reishis Chachma Yeretz Hashem. You do those two together, it's a perfect balance of life. You get to where you need to get to. Chas v'shalom, a person shouldn't be caught outside with brakes that aren't working. The Yira has to be tended to all the time, which brings us to the last mitzvah. The last mitzvah is the Lois HaSuru, Achrei Levavchem, Bechrei Nechem, Hashem Zeynim Achareihem. It's the only Lois HaSuru of the Shesh Mitzvah Kvidiyot. And this mitzvah is something which is so critical and so vital that people don't understand. That you could be a Tzadik Nisla, but you can go from 60 to 0 in 2 seconds flat if Chalila you get caught up in these two things, which is the base human passion for unbridled power. Like the Zachar Zuminus. Minus means atheism. An atheist is someone who can't believe that there's a Bari Olam because he's running the world. It's not an agnostic who doesn't know. An atheist, I'm running the world. That is man's unbridled quest for power. Power is Meshater. Because of power, people kill millions of people. Because of power, we lose our senses. We get caught up in power. We become greedy. We cheat. We do terrible things because of power. And you can't control it. And the other thing is impropriety. Things that have to do with sneers. If you talk too much about sneers, I have the Kabbalah Shemesh can sneers. I can't speak too much, but you know what I'm talking about. When people get caught up in the twin-based passions, they take over a person's consciousness, awareness, and their body, and their neshama, and they can't break the hold. There are people who are wonderful, terrific people. They get caught up in these two things, in the power, and in the struggle for sexual impropriety, and what happens to them is mamish gefelach, and they'll lose their businesses, and they're going to lose their families, and they lose everything. It comes all crashing around them, and there's nothing they can do about it. Because it takes such a hold. Human being gets so caught up that it becomes completely and totally out of control. You can be a tzaddik in Yediyas Hashem, a tzaddik in Ein Zlosai, a tzaddik in Yichud Hashem, a tzaddik in Yira, a tzaddik in Ahava. And it doesn't make a difference. Like Kayach found out, once he counted, v'loy tzuru esplor nas, once you give into it, you go from 60 to 0 to 60. He's the right Sanhedrin, Kayach. How does it happen to him? And the Teretz is, that's it. It takes hold of, we're finished. It's something Teretz tells us you can't, v'loy tzuru, just say no. Just say no, because you can't control it. You give into it, you're finished. Lose your business, lose your life. Just want to give you a quick sermon to remember the Shesh Mitzvah Tzimidus, because to know the Shesh Mitzvah Tzimidus is to know life itself, and know life is K-N-O-L-F-E. We're spelling it a little differently. K-N-O-L-F-E. To know that there's a Bari Olam, and if there's no other, O is the oneness and unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L is to love Hashem, F is to fear Hashem, and E is explore not, Achrei Levavchem, Achrei Nechem, to K-N-O-L-F-E, to know it, Baruch Hashem, perhaps thousands of people today who know these things. If you can't sleep tonight, if you're riding on a bus and you're bored, review them in your mind. You'll be drawing down reward that has no limit in terms of Elam Hazeh. It's without limit, and that's something I thought the best thing we should. Let's do it. Let's be company Aliyah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.